So, while used cars are always an option to buy, a slew of 2021 models are in demand since production changed the car options, as you can imagine, for many 2020 vehicles.
Whether an oldie but goodie or a new must-have high-tech vehicle, visit Roark.com for all of your vehicle needs. Now we start the Jagoff podcast from Liberty Pole in Washington County.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word Jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
This is Ken Wild Bill.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle.
Hi, this is Rocky Blair.
Hey, it's Rick Sivak.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the Jagoff Podcast.
So this is the Jagoff Podcast. If you're listening to the podcast for the very first time, we ask you that you go subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts. If you're on iTunes, leave us a comment. We'd appreciate that.
But definitely give it a try on radio.com because you actually get to hear a lot of our friends from Entercom. You also hear us because we are part of Kel on Air, which is Kelly on Star 100.7 at 4:55 every day, giving the daily dose of happiness by Jagoff. And then we also do Who's the Jagoff of the Week with Elista on Fridays. And that's where we kind of can talk about our blog post and who was a jagoff.
Right.
Right? So our blog this week, the Steelers lost. Okay, let's just get it over with. Day one was...
Rip the Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go over.
Day one was we lost. Not only did we lose, but we lost to the Cleveland Browns.
Hopefully you will find yourself rooting for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Root for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Jagoff, two jagoffs from grocery stores and the pre-COVID office jagoff.
Right. So, we found a picture. If you go to the Jagoff website, we found a picture of a shopping cart, a buggy, as you would say in Pittsburgh. And, it's literally 18 feet from the shopping cart corral. Yeah. And you'd think someone would just take a minute and walk it over there, right?
So. Yeah. And here's the thing. Speaking of feet, just so you notice on Facebook Live, because we said this on two of our test runs, we make sure that we are at least 6 feet from our guest to make things as comfortable as possible for everyone so that we can continue our on-site podcast where we can showcase wonderful places throughout Western PA, like here at Liberty Pole.
Yes.
Right. Okay. We have known the owner, the guy of Liberty Pole for quite a few years now. It's one of those John and Rachel stories where we stumbled upon this for one of our clients, Providence Point. And we came here because they are so rich in the Whiskey Rebellion. They even do a tar and feathering here in Washington, PA. Not this past year because of, you know, nothing happened in 2020 except bad things. But, you know, we got to know Jim because this is this gem that exists in Washington County. I mean, why else would you drive 45 minutes? I'm just kidding because there's a lot in Washington County to like. So we got to know these guys and we want them to kind of tell you about how Liberty Pole came to be, where they are, you know, and why you have to continue to come here if you have been here, continue to come, but why you need to get down here. Guys, is our tape letting up?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening?
It's going to pop out. Yeah.
Just shove like, that tape back on.
Yeah. Just sit on it or something.
Been a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So welcome to Jim and Kevin.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi,
thank
guys.
You guys for
yeah,
for having
for
us. We're super excited to
Listen,
be here.
We took over. We're like right in your entrance area. So, you know, we're here for at least another 40 minutes. So get used to us, right? Talk to us about why do you get so many people from so many parts of not just Pittsburgh, but other areas. They want to come down. You have this like Cheers atmosphere here where people walk in and it's like, hey, you have a little drink and you tell them about yourselves, right?
Yeah. No, it's the experience. Yeah. So our mission statement, you know, the very first sentence in our mission statement is to provide everybody who walks through that door the best whiskey experience they had, whether they're lifelong whiskey drinkers, whether they don't like whiskey, whether they're history buffs. We try to just kind of embrace them and get them to really understand the history of whiskey and the history of Washington, PA.
Yeah.
I want to get into why it's called Liberty. This was one of my best stories of coming down here. Why is it called Liberty Pole Whiskey?
So a Liberty Pole, that was the flag of the whiskey rebels. If you didn't like the excise tax here in 1790s, which if you lived here, almost no one liked the excise tax. It was not a popular tax on their goods. They hung Liberty Poles outside their home to symbolize their distaste in this excise tax. And so it was nothing more than a tree you'd cut down in your backyard. You'd sew up a burlap flag that would read Liberty but no excise or no excise tax. And you'd hang it in front of every home, road throughout Western Pennsylvania and basically said, hey,
we don't like this tax, and we're not going to pay it.
How do you remember that?
So, and it, I remember, you kind of told us it was like the Twitter of the,
yeah,
of
no,
the
that's,
season,
that's,
of
that's
the
my
era, right?
Line. It was the Twitter of 1791. You know, Twitter's an angry place. Liberty polls were often put up in anger.
Okay.
You know, and even prior to the whiskey tax, Liberty polls were used, you know, when we were gaining independence, they were used against the British rule. So Liberty polls have a long history in colonial America.
Okay.
And even before that, really.
Yeah.
Now, were you guys history buffs before whiskey before now?
Jim was, right?
Yeah.
You know, my wife, Ellen.
Yeah. Okay.
Ellen is
okay.
the real history buff, and she's the genius behind
she is
the
a genius.
Branding
yes.
and the it's... feel of our tasting room.
Well, I'm not kidding, and I say this often, you guys. I went to an all-girl Catholic school that doesn't exist anymore, so I can say things. We did not have the best history education, and so I learned once I went to college, and vicariously through my children, that I've learned more. History has never been my thing. I'm not kidding you. This is so historic. You literally walk in. I mean, and the relationship building here is like bar none, I have to say. You remember people's names like year to year. You know, we come holiday time to stock up, but you really make it like that time frame. Have you heard that from a lot of people? Is that what the repeat business is?
Absolutely. I mean, to us, whiskey brings people together.
Yeah.
Whiskey is, you know, a social lubricant. People come in to a place like this they have for centuries, and you're here to hang out and meet people. We've seen business cards exchanged, new friends formed.
Right.
You know, not just between us and our, you know, our customers, but between customers and, you know, each other.
Who are coming in, yeah.
How do you figure out whether people like you because you're good people or whether they like you because, like me, you're bourbon cream? You know what I mean?
Bourbon cream. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah. It seems like I certainly have a few more friends than I used to.
right.
No, no, but talk about, you know, like I said, you literally open the door to give you kind of, you know, an atmospheric tour if you haven't been here. And we will get some photos, obviously, to put up. But you walk through the door, and the first thing you see, I'm sure by strategy, yeah. is this really unique bar where you guys even
look at
online,
he's waving in the back.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah. Bartender of record today is
Chris.
Okay. Right. Hey, Chris. What's cool, and I noticed this on your website also, you are so quick to give your cocktails, you know, like the recipes. Why is that? Because some places won't do that.
Oh, if you like a cocktail here, we'd love for you to take a bottle of Liberty Pole home and make it at home.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't have any secrets here. We're 100% transparent in the way we make our whiskey and how we form our cocktails. Yeah, we want people, if they really enjoyed it, make it at home.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about, because the one thing we pointed out is Ellen is the history buff.
Yes.
And behind me, you won't see this on the podcast, but there is a picture here hanging. And it's of the building burning,
yeah,
and it is literally from Collier Township here, and so explain what the picture is. When they come down, they need to come see this.
Yeah, go for it. So that picture is done by local artist Ray Forker, and it depicts the burning of the Neville House. So the burning of the Neville House was really the final straw before the government stepped in to kind of stop this rebellion that was happening in western Pennsylvania. General Neville was the tax collector in western Pennsylvania. He was a general. He was a friend of George Washington. But besides being the tax collector, he was also a distiller, and he had the contract to supply whiskey rations to the army, which was a very lucrative contract.
Sure.
So a lot of the distillers here who were being taxed saw this, you know, this wealthy general kind of. A lot of conflict of interest there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
So they eventually, set fire to his house, and that really forced Alexander Hamilton and George Washington to step in and form a militia and march to western Pennsylvania.
That history is crazy.
It's amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's literally, that's where Providence Point and Neville Wood, Country Club, and all those things are up there. Yeah, that's crazy. That's,
but you enjoyed, weren't you wanting, and tell me, the story, but you had an interest in whiskey already, right? Like that was a hobby of yours because you started it at home before you had all these barrels here in your
unofficially.
Basement.
Unofficially.
Yeah. I can neither confirm nor deny
gotcha.
That I used to have a still, but no, it was a hobby.
Yeah.
It was something that I did on a very small scale, just to, to learn.
To dabble. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And you're recently retired, were you able to
recently
see?
Recently retired.
Okay.
Yeah,
congratulations. So now you can enjoy this all the time.
Yeah. It's harder on the kids, on me and Rob. Way more of dad here, so.
I'm sure. Now, is he a micromanager or no?
No.
I don't think so. I don't get that at all.
No.
So, and as far as, you know, how long have you been here?
Wow. It's hard to believe, but we are approaching our fifth birthday.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
So we've been in the building over 5 years, but we opened to the public in July. So.
And is this what you wanted? Was this always the intent, was for people to come in and, as you said, learn about it? Because you do have tours, so it's not just come in, buy a bottle. So let's make that be known.
Yes.
You know, I think people, specifically us being from Pittsburgh, are going to say, well, we could go to a Wiggle, which you work well with, or we could go to a state store and we could get a bottle of whiskey. That's fine.
Right.
But you're not getting the experience if you come here, because the intent is to really live the history, and you have so much more to offer, right?
Oh, yeah. And Dad is the third best tour guide, so if you come, and a pretty good chance, you might get the third best guy. So
if you get Kevin, you'll get the fourth best.
I love that.
A little family humor.
All right.
You know, it's funny, though, because you mentioned about the experience, and we're sitting at these high-top tables, and we reluctantly changed up our tasting room with COVID to promote a little social distancing, because it was always our goal to have community tables. And like Kevin said, whiskey's that social lubricant.
Yes.
People who don't know each other pre-COVID, they were forced to sit together. And it was amazing how often by the end of the night they were exchanging phone numbers and, you know, making plans to meet for dinner somewhere.
That's cool.
It was really a community. It was fun.
Before you go to anything, what am I drinking that's warming my heart? Just saying.
That is a hot buttered bourbon. So that's our bourbon with a very healthy butter batter, cinnamon, maple syrup.
Yeah, my Weight Watchers app was like, does not compute. Go ahead.
But best served warm. And when it snowed, you know, 4 inches, 3 inches today, it's a perfect, perfect wintertime drink.
Right. It is absolutely.
Not while driving home from
Washington.
No, that's
why I'm
once
not
you
driving.
Get home.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that these guys have been so good to us that we get to taste test a bunch of different things, which if you do tour here, I know that you offer sips as well so that they can know what they can have and take home with them.
Yeah. Tastings are always available and always complimentary.
Okay. And where does everybody find you? Online.
You can find us online, libertypulsespirits.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Yeah.
Search for Liberty Pulse Spirits.
They have a great Instagram presence as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a dark place on the Liberty Pulse.
That's right.
Twitter.
No.
Yeah. Good vibes only on
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
No, you guys
whiskey.
Love it.
Good vibes.
So we have a question of the day that we always ask everybody.
Yeah,
every
guest.
So you guys get to answer it first, which is either the easiest part or the toughest
it's
part.
Tough.
I don't know.
I have hard-hitting questions. I tell you softball questions till this one.
Right.
Historically, Washington, PA is known for the Whiskey Rebellion. What person from history are you most like, or do you relate to the most?
Oh, wow.
He almost said good question. He almost said good question.
We're stumped, Kevin. Do you
don't be stumped. You're history people. Yeah. Who do you relate to, or who are you?
Do you have to phone a friend to your wife?
I was going to say a father-son duo, Jacob Beam, the Beams.
Oh,
originally
that's a great one.
Originally from Somerset, too.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yep.
I didn't
know
that.
You learned something new every day.
Yeah.
He saved you on that one, Jim.
He
really pulled it.
He's now the second best tour guide.
I was going to say John Neville, but that wouldn't be good.
No.
Yeah.
By the way, we have to tell you about your house.
Yeah.
All right.
You guys, thank you so much for hosting us.
Coming up, we have Karen Locke, who has a book coming out.
It's out.
That's how long we've been not talking. And then we have a musician here who has a great story about hanging out in the South Side as a kid.
Yeah. I can't wait because, you know, we connect, me and the musician.
Right.
Yeah. And we have Briar from Maiden Pictures.
Something out of a movie, so it seems.
In case you don't know who Karen and Mr. Locke, you know, Karen, I've known Karen for a bunch of years from my Markowitz days, because she really, she set the precedent before travel and food and all these niche things were happening. You were blogging, kind of like John was, you know, when blogging wasn't so much a thing. It was the beginning of the time when people were just realizing that it was something. And so you sort of paved that way for people to say, I'm interested in this. And we've since worked with you on some of our marketing clients even because you really uniquely portray places to go, right? It's not just, oh, take a look at this place because I've been here or they're paying me. That's not your gig. You're saying, this is intriguing enough for me to visit, therefore I want you to know about it, right?
Wow, thank you. You're hired.
Thank you.
You're totally hired.
I was waiting. No, but...
Yeah, absolutely. And my goal is to have a kind of been there mentality when I write or take a photo. I want people to fall in love with that place the way that I fell in love with it.
Right.
And I kind of recruited Mr. Locke here to start taking photos because I was so busy writing. I was like, you're going to have to... Learn how to take photos.
Step it up,
step
Bobby.
It up.
Step up your game, and he's done a fantastic job.
Well, and with that, I was going to say the exact same thing. When I take a shot, I want to take a shot that gives you some emotional response. It makes you feel like you could be where we were and doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's more than just, you know, here's a room or here's a building. You kind of get the feel for maybe I could walk up to that building myself. And it's, I think your writing and my photography go pretty well hand in hand.
Well, there you go. So you guys should work together.
I'm married. You should get married.
I'm not cheap. That's the only problem.
We should get married, right? Mm-hmm.
So for anyone who doesn't know, it's Sand and Snow and Everything in Between.
Yeah, and Snow and Everywhere in Between or sandandorsnow.com because somebody owns sandandsnow.com.
Okay.
We can't get
That's
waiting.
All right.
We're trying.
Okay.
But, you know,
never give up.
Maybe
but basically, so if you're interested in seeing any of the unique places, specifically Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
Because you really took a liking here. And should we say, you're not from here.
I'm not, but it's my big city.
Yeah.
You know, we're just over the border in Ohio.
But I think that's the cool part. And I don't want to interrupt you, but you're only in Ohio, but there are so many people, you know, we mentioned Rosalind, right? That she did this fantastic book about like a bucket list, 100 things you need to do in Pittsburgh before you die. She's a Pittsburgher.
Yes.
Not saying that it's easier, but saying that there's a different perspective. You're not a born and bred Pittsburgher, and you've taken such a liking. Why? What is the big appeal?
Wow. That's a question for you, too. Because Pittsburgh is his favorite city in the whole world.
Yeah.
And you know what? For me, there's everything that you could possibly want in a city, in a big city that feels like a small town. Because everybody's very personable. They're, you know, you go, if you had to ask for directions or had a question, nobody's going to diss you. They're very kind. I
We've
love
heard
the locals.
That. Yeah, we're really nice people.
Yeah. And as for you, why do you love Pittsburgh so much?
You know, I really started visiting Pittsburgh probably when I was in high school, way back last century. So,
right.
And I just always, you know, love the city and the things you can find, but especially the people. It really is the people that makes the town. But everywhere that we visit, honestly, I'm always comparing it to Pittsburgh. Well, Pittsburgh does this better.
Yeah.
The people here make that.
Oh, yeah.
Go down south and they say they have pierogies. Get out of here. You don't have pierogies.
Set in Pittsburghese. Get out of here.
But, you know, what's interesting is where you guys live is almost, we've considered it like a suburb of Pittsburgh because it's so close, so easy to get to, and it's included in the, not the statistical, but the emotional DMA of Pittsburgh, right? It's the area because it's only a half an hour away.
Love you, so they're safe, right?
Yeah.
Right? Is
exactly.
that what you're saying?
We're part of the Rust Belt, just like Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. We're right on the Ohio River, just like Pittsburgh.
It's easier to get to you than it is to get to Erie. That's the bottom line.
Oh,
and we would sell Erie to somebody else if you want.
There goes our Erie
we'll
contact.
You guys
Remember when we were going to Erie for a podcast?
Yeah. Well, wait, they do sell my book in Erie.
Okay, all right.
Just saying.
Sorry. So let's talk about the book. What's in the book? And we found, I know you talk about steps, you talk about the wooden streets in Pittsburgh, and all that's because of Rachel's awesome research. But anyway, so talk about why everybody should just go buy the book and the intriguing part of it.
Okay, so when I started kind of doing research for the book, it became a one step forward, two more steps forward type of situation because every entry that I found that I wanted to put in the book, I found two more that I needed to put in.
Yeah.
So as somebody who lives outside of Pittsburgh but still considers themselves like Pittsburgh their big city, I wanted to do a blending of entries that even Pittsburghers would be like, I didn't know about that.
Right.
So it just became that, and having to whittle down.
I remember you saying that because we actually, and you, I know you don't always remember the time frame, but we had her on the Santa Spectacular podcast last, 2019.
Mm-hmm. From the
and
tent.
And you had already started, and you said, oh, wait till this comes out.
Yeah.
And you, when we checked in later, you said, it's literally a matter of kind of deciding what's going to make the cut. right?
It really was, and it was one of those like, ooh, but I really like this, so that's going to stay in. Okay, I don't like this as much, but it's still cool, but you never know. Maybe it'll be a volume two one day.
Yeah.
And I can add in all
yeah.
of those extras. Because
yeah.
Pittsburgh has so many cool things that you just, like, I don't even think locals would know.
Right.
Like, about the H being dropped out of Pittsburgh for a few years.
Right.
And then Pittsburghers are like, no, we're not doing that. We're putting it back.
Right.
So.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah, we still find signs that, don't have the H, and it's just so cool.
Question. And yes. I did get this from, like, just the sporadic, like, you know, feeding from Amazon.
Yeah.
The golden triangle, you said 1 + 1. What is
three.
That?
1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah.
And that is, I'm sure every Pittsburgher or close to every Pittsburgher has been to where the river confluence is. So that's where the Allegheny and the Monongahela rivers form the Ohio River. And if you head down right to the end of Point State Park, right at
yes.
the end of the Golden Triangle, there is a plaque there, a round plaque that says confluence.
Did
so
you know that?
One river
wow.
plus one river equals three.
Equals three.
Three.
That is so crazy. Cause you
yeah.
know, I'm not a proximity person, in case you didn't know. Like, I'm terrible if you tell me. And I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, 44
yeah.
years.
All
but
right.
I will still say, like, I have no idea where that is in proximity. Like, I have to step away from our calendar because I'll say, oh, we can be in Westmoreland in 3 minutes. And John's like, you know, that's a 25-minute drive easy, right?
That sounds like I do. I have no concept of time.
Maybe it's a woman thing. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
What is something, and this is sort of a cliche question, but I want to know. Mm-hmm. What is something that you went, oh, I think I'm going to leave this out, but maybe afterward you were like, should have put that in?
Oh, boy. Daylight savings time was
okay.
formed in Pittsburgh.
How did
so
we not know that?
You can thank somebody old from Pittsburgh for making us lose sleep.
That is crazy.
We're going to
yeah.
beat them up.
Yeah, right?
We're not just going to thank anybody.
It gave us more time. In the
yeah.
I was like, that's kind
silver
of a
lining.
Bad thing. Because
yeah.
I take offense to that every time I lose an hour of sleep. And
yeah.
I was like, I don't want people to take offense to Pittsburgh for that.
Right. right. Because
so leave it out. There
because
you, go.
You never actually gain an hour of sleep because your body
yeah.
gets up when it's supposed to. So you're always losing an hour
yeah.
of sleep. And it's a, yeah, it's a, let's
yeah.
beat that. Who's, what?
See, she doesn't know.
Let's
so
do the Neville House thing and burn that house down.
Or just
that's
turn their
think.
Picture upside down. But
right.
we don't know who it is. We don't know who it is.
I'm taking a picture of Alexander Hamilton. I'm totally going to put it upside down.
Let's talk about this place. Do you
yeah.
love this place? Have you been here before?
No, this is our first time.
Thanks
uh-huh.
to the Jagoff podcast.
See,
first time.
Oh, my gosh. It's so beautiful.
Listen,
I am an American history buff.
I know.
So coming in here, I was like doing the happy dance. Because
yeah.
it's so beautiful and it's not even, I wouldn't even call it urban chic. It just looks like you stepped into a pub from like the
1700s. That's it.
And
that's
I love
exactly it.
It.
Yeah, yeah, same. And like John and I said, and you would have to come, when they do, they literally close the streets down and do a tar and feathering
that's
for,
awesome.
I mean, it's amazing. Like jeez. They actually reenact it. Yeah, it's so
that's
cool
really
to
it,
see.
Yeah, it's
everybody
totally amazing.
Comes
yeah.
over here.
So everything's very 1700s other than the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
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 And
yeah.
what is that, 19th or
oh,
20th
yeah.
century?
Yeah, that was more, yeah. yeah.
What are you guys drinking?
This is a rye old fashioned, and it is top notch, absolutely top notch.
Yeah.
Every
yeah.
flavor that's supposed
to
be there is
the
there. Oh, it's fantastic!
Right? I love their cocktails.
And he is a bourbon aficionado, so
is that right?
For him, a whiskey and bourbon, and I don't know.
I've been known to pour back a dram or two every now and again.
There you go. Look at you knowing the knowledge.
Yeah,
I think he's always on the quest to find like the perfect old fashioned. So
okay.
to hear him whisper when you were doing the previous
yes.
interview, this is amazing. I was
yeah.
like.
You were like,
all right.
Yeah,
I brought
good.
Him all this way.
Good. That's awesome.
So as far as your yeah. book, though, so you actually released it in October?
Yes.
Okay. So a little bit of time for people to get it. You can get it on Amazon as well, right?
You can get it on Amazon, Walmart.com, Target, Barnes & Noble. Yeah.
yeah. And what can we expect, in your opinion, that people are going to say when they read it, like, oh, we're going to talk about this? Like, did you strategically place something in there that people would go, this is the crux of what I wanted to know.
Yeah, well, I placed things in there both for people coming to visit
yes.
the city and for locals. Because I wanted at least one entry in there for a local to be like, huh, I didn't
yeah.
know that. I got to go look it up.
Yeah.
So can I tell you the one?
Yeah.
yeah oh,
okay.
yeah.
All right. Did you know about the Toynbee Tiles downtown
no.
on Boulevard of the Allies? Okay. So if you start walking down, or I guess walking up the BOA, right? In the middle.
Boulevard of the Allies, BOA.
Oh, the BOA.
Yeah.
There are, I don't know, random intersections. Walk across the street and look down, and there are these House of Hades and Toynbee tiles that are just somebody planted in the middle. They are kooky as you know what. They have this really cryptic text, and they are so cool. I didn't know they existed until I started researching, and they're still there.
And Colin standing behind the camera shaking his head like, yes, he knows what you're talking about.
Did you know about them? Yeah. Oh, see, now you've got to go.
He was pretending.
They're really cool. We were actually,
he does that.
When was the last time we were in Pittsburgh? A couple of months ago. And I actually found another set. Because I was like, we're going to hit every intersection. I was just like, there's one. They're giant. It's almost like somebody.
How about that?
Threw them out of the car, and people running over them for years have just embedded them into the blacktop.
However, there was one that looked like it was paved over recently, so it might be near the end of an era, the Toynbee era.
Yeah, so go and look. Go down to the BOA and take a look,
because
they're fascinating.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, one more story from the book. Let's see. How about if you give us a question from the book, like, did you know, and by the way, dun-dun-dun, you have to go read the book about this.
As long as you say dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, you have to go dun-dun-dun.
Can I do it Jeopardy style for Alex Trebek?
Do it. Oh, yeah, do it.
I guess.
Okay. What is Alamont?
Oh. What is Alamont? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know it.
Really? That is the official name for the gold paint color on downtown Pittsburgh bridges.
That's what I was whispering.
It's a portmanteau, so it's the first syllable of the three rivers. So it's Allegheny, Monongahela, Ohio, Alamont.
Remember I was telling you that last time?
Yeah, you're like, yeah. You don't even know.
Isn't that cool? That's cool,
yeah.
Right?
So cool. That is a great story, and the joke behind that is literally, I don't know if she could name the things. All right, that's awesome. Right? So they get the book on Amazon.com,
yep.
Walmart.com,
yep.
Target.com,
yep.
And your website is?
No.
No, don't get it.
No, and your website.
Reedy Press. Reedy Press is a publisher.
Okay.
I don't even handle all of
right.
that.
Okay. But your website is?
Well, where do they follow you?
Oh, Sand and Snow and everywhere in between. Just type in Sand and Snow in Google, and we're the first entry.
It is, yeah.
Happily.
Love it. Love it. And glad you guys love Pittsburgh, because we like seeing you guys. So
yeah, and check out the blog, seriously, because we've loved, you know, like we said, we've worked with her on various clients who have really loved her work, and we certainly
they do tons of Disney trips if you're looking for discounts and tips on going to Disney, not even discounts.
Or best time of year to go, right?
Basically everything.
Yeah. Well, we define tons of trips.
Yeah.
Define tons. I don't know. We were going
way more than
times a year.
What?
Yeah. Not last year. That last year was only three.
Right.
Because of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
But the year before, it was four or five.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was a handful.
That's tons.
But Disney things turn around. Rides come out.
Yeah.
It comes out so frequently that you have to be down there every few
months
to get a hold of what's new and how the park feels.
Sure.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right. Question of the day.
Question of the day for both of you. And you heard it already. But historically, Washington, PA is known for the Whiskey Rebellion. What person from history are you most like, or who do you most relate?
Oh, my gosh.
Button Gwinnett.
Okay.
Do you know who Button Gwinnett
is?
Oh, he's one of the guys that signed the Declaration of Independence. He did nothing. He got like killed in a duel very soon after. So.
Oh, God bless him. God bless him.
He has no place in history except that he signed the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, my God.
And then peaced out.
Cool. Yeah.
There are Gwinnett counties and things named after him.
In Georgia,
Yeah, in Georgia. Who would I be? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Alexander Hamilton.
Because
you can't sit still.
Because I can't sit still. That's a good one.
I'm glad you gave a reason.
Always
right.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, that's a good one. Boy,
I'd imagine all the things he went through. Couldn't comprehend, I'd just pretend and try.
So, what? I am trying to think of what who your voice sounds like.
Me too, and I had it.
You gotta speak in the microphone.
There you go. I had it, and now I can't think of who it was. Who is it?
Yes, Bare Naked Ladies. Yes.
That is it. Yeah.
Yes, Karen Locke wins a case
John
of whiskey
Mayer.
For a year.
I was going John Mayer, and then I was like, no, it's not John Mayer. Okay, this is the part of the podcast where I take credit for the music, but I can't because Tracy Coslow actually found the Aris Paul Band. And we have to tell you, one of our big announcements is that we have a partnership now with Fusion Entertainment, who is giving us all of our musicians, basically letting us know who are the up-and-coming musicians that Pittsburgh needs to know about. But this time, we get to kind of say, hey, Chris, have you heard of these guys? Right. You knew of Fusion Entertainment. So this is hopefully going to be a little match made in heaven. So this is Eris, not Eric. He has an alias, Eric. But John and I don't always, our hearing's not always the best because we're not millennials, in case you didn't notice. But basically, we got to talking to him, and we told him about how we checked out the website, obviously, ahead of time. Again, thanks to Tracy on the Jagoff team. And you have so much history to Pittsburgh because you're young. But you know a lot about Pittsburgh music because your uncle, your dad, they're musicians who really know blues, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My dad was a touring musician his whole life, and he worked with Hollywood Music, Gary and Don. He grew up with them when they were starting their business, and coincidentally, my uncle and dad started Excuses Bar and Grill on the South Side back in 1988. So there's so much blues and punk rock history that I was... sucked in from day one.
We literally just were at Excuses for our Toyota tailgate the other week. And, you know, we're talking about history here at Liberty Pole. And, so the music history, but you lived and breathed this thing. When you were 8, 10 years old, how much music were you exposed to? Or were you sort of sheltered from it, or were you hanging out at Excuses?
No, I was there from pretty much day one, because it was a family business. So even while my mom was pregnant with me, she worked there to help the bar after her job, she would go over there. And that's why in that song where I talk about, I would stay with my grandparents when I was a little kid, when I was, 2, 3 years old, literally 2 blocks behind the bar in the South Side, which is the house I live in now, is my grandparents' house. And my grandpa would literally, take me out at 80 years old to get picked up by my mom at 3 a.m. and then we'd go home.
So. Oh,
and that's
God.
The life you knew.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's funny because I actually pulled this from the website, but you refer to yourselves as red-eyed road rock. What is that?
It's wanderlust as a romantic notion and a mental illness. That's what I like to, okay. That's the way I like to put it, because, every musician loves the idea of like the road goes on forever and the party never ends. But after your 10th show somewhere in Tennessee, you're like, the road goes on forever.
Yeah.
And the party never ends. So Red Eye Road Rock just kind of made sense. We love playing rock music, and it keeps us going.
Well, and so as we sort of talked offset, I grew up in that industry as well, and lots of stories to tell that we could talk about, musicians and such. But you said bourbon, the smell of stale cigarettes and smoke, the warm neon glow. Some of these naturally take time to develop, but the sour bending of a Stratocaster on a Saturday night is something that you know from day one. That's it, right?
You know
that life. Like, people will walk into a bar and be like, ugh, I hate this smell.
No.
But there's something about it that was iconic to you enough to fuel you to say, this is the life I want to lead, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's infectious. And what's so cool about it is that, just like here, at the Liberty Pole, it's a community and it's a family, and every bar has its own family.
Yeah.
And especially this year, it's been very tough, but everyone's rallied together, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Do you know Coach Tank?
I know a Tank.
That hangs out at the bar.
That's gotta be him.
So our connection at Toyota was coached by Coach Tank.
Really?
So when we got there, we asked, does anybody, we're like, oh my God, everybody knows
George
Tank.
George was like, yeah, he's not drinking so much right now.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Tank or the Turk brothers, but one of them was Santa Claus when I was a little kid.
One of your coolest stories from growing up, not now, but growing up in that industry?
I could tell a lot of stories that I wish I was there for that I didn't get to see. My favorite is when Bruce Willis was filming Striking Distance in the 90s, there were only a handful of bars in the South Side. Excuses was one of them. It was the hot, blues club. So all the blues musicians, after their shows in Oakland or the Strip, would go over and they'd play at the bar until 3 a.m. Well, one night, my dad and uncle are outside of the bar arguing over lunch specials or whatever, something that you'd expect, two Greek men to do.
Sure.
And then this limo pulls up, and this big bouncer comes out, and my dad and uncle aren't paying attention. Like, yeah, whatever, go inside. They didn't see who was behind him. Well, it was Bruce Willis, and he went in, and I think he sat in with the Hellhounds, which was Hank Raffetto and Don Hollywood and all those guys. But he sat in with the house band and played harmonica
for
3 or 4 songs and left. And my dad and uncle didn't get to see any part
of
it.
That's so funny. Music question, though.
And no cell phones in that area either to take the pictures. Yeah.
You mentioned, like, a Billy Price, right? Very well known in Pittsburgh for years and years. Why blues, though? I mean, you grew up with that, with the sound. Sure, it resonates, but why someone young who's watching one particular genre of music, why leech onto that and not say, I'm going to go, because you are right. You kind of filter in some punk, some like R&B. Mm. You know, there's a lot of meshing, but what is it about the blues that kind of kept you?
I think at the end of the day, I love just roots and origins, and I love blues, I love country and jazz, and that's sort of the origin for a lot of contemporary music, so, and the emotion with the blues is just...
Yeah, good point.
You have to... What I like about it is, and I worked for several studios, and like I love doing studio work for people and recording songs, and you know, it's all well and good, and you can make studio magic, but with blues, you got to deliver... Or those people are not going to buy it. And I love that you have to show up every night and perform.
Great point.
Listen, do it. No,
where does everyone follow you guys? Because listen, when things start to get better, we've got to get you out and see you more, especially with the whole band, right?
Oh yeah, the band's a lot of fun. We had a cross country tour planned actually with Raylan Nelson, Raylan Nelson Band, who's Willie Nelson's granddaughter. Yeah. We played a couple shows with them, and they were like, yes, let's do it. And we had everything planned, and then, you know, COVID hit, obviously. Hit. So
yeah, God love COVID.
This year has been hard, but we released our second album, regardless, and that's out. And, you know, we have a website, but, you know, it's everywhere. You just have to get it out there.
Okay.
Spotify, Pandora, whatever people want. Whatever's easiest
there
for
you
them.
Go.
Give credit to the band. Who's all in the band?
Right. The band is actually a power trio, which I'm very excited to say because we've had large iterations of the band before. But it's Matt Scott and Aaron Wagner, in my opinion. Two of the finest musicians to come out of Duquesne, and they're just remarkable
Duquesne
group of guys.
Duquesne has a lot of musicians.
Yeah.
So, ArisPaulBand.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do not go to ArisPaulBand.com.
Social media. Yeah, not Eric.
It's wrong.
I can't be held responsible for
that
website. What are you drinking?
The rye, actually. It's delicious.
Like,
just
the rye.
Yeah, I love bourbon, and I love whiskey, and it's got to be the afternoon by now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're safe. I'm actually sipping on my $32 a day habit, which is bourbon,
right.
Cream bourbon that my husband is worried about me having a bottle a day.
Yeah.
But listen, you're fantastic. We hope that people listen in more. And here's your question of the day. You already heard it, so you're listening. You were listening. You're not in a soundproof booth. But historically, Washington, PA is known for the Whiskey Rebellion. What person from history are you most like or do you most relate?
I'm going to go with Ben Franklin because he was an inventor and I love making weird things. I mean, and thinking on the fly, too, I'm kind of like MacGyver. I don't know if you can see that. But,
so for the podcast, he just flipped his guitar over and there's a 9-volt battery plugged into the back of
your feet.
I love
taped
it.
With not even stage tape. It's our stupid Scotch tape.
You know, I got to say, it holds pretty well. It's my first time.
We know it. We
have packaging
it.
Tape. Well, podcast.
Kudos to Tracy for finding these guys. We're so glad finally we're able to meet you. So glad you're here.
It was a close one. I was like, oh, geez.
We get some snow in Pittsburgh, and we know what Pittsburgh people get like.
It was like full surprise snow.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty type A, and that's not true, but I know what the weather is, and I did not know that there was a blizzard today.
We didn't either. We keep saying we were on West Liberty Avenue, and we came out, and we were like, what the heck is this whiteout? What is going on?
But it was pretty bad. All of 376 is totally closed.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Boring.
Crazy.
Pittsburgh
so
road
the
topic.
Voice you're hearing, Breyer is no stranger to the podcast. She actually was on different publication, but she's known in the journalism media world for really your creativity, right?
I guess,
like the stuff you've put together. You know, we have to say, even though you are no longer with the city paper, you have a great relationship, and you were actually part of their best of, and it was one of the best parties we've ever attended.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we had such a good time.
One of my most proud career moments was best of, and like obviously best of luck to the city paper. I love them.
Yeah,
and for sure.
And then you actually did the Day of the Dead event that that's actually where you were on the podcast.
Yeah,
but
I was a little stressed that day.
A little stressed, but when you're in the middle of it all,
for
it's understandable.
Sure.
But you've since moved to Made in Pittsburgh.
Made in PGH.
PGH.
No worries.
Which is crazy because it has exploded in like the last year.
Totally, I'm really proud of our brand. We do a lot of work with local small businesses and just nearby creators that have something to say about the city and kind of what's going on and what they think and where you should go. And it's been, I was brought into the fold about almost 5 or 6 months, and it's kind of grown a lot even since then.
Yes.
So I have like so much fun.
Yeah.
For sure.
So,
but why did, if you don't mind, why did the Post-Gazette make this sort of turn to this distinctive little online property?
So the, I think the Post-Gazette has a very specific fan base, and Made in PGH is a little bit different. It's upwardly mobile, mostly female, millennial, and a little bit younger. So it's just kind of a different brand that speaks to a different audience. And it's nice because we're kind of almost entirely separate. Like, I work under the Post-Gazette, but I kind of feel like I'm in my own little
bubble.
It is
its own niche, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it's really fun because they have a lot of faith in us, and they're really excited about what we're doing, so they give me and my partner Chelsea a lot of autonomy to kind of do whatever we want, and it's a lot of fun.
And I noticed, you know, when we're looking through the website and things like that, because kudos to you, you're really getting into all the different nooks and crannies of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all want to, right?
Yeah.
But you're finding unique ways of really hitting local. And I noticed something that kept coming up, and I'm assuming that it was strategically done. Your hashtag is Rediscover PGH.
Right.
Because you're, and I'm just paraphrasing, but I'm assuming, you're right, the Post-Gazette has discovered
right
this whole city.
Exactly.
But your kind of niche take on it is we're rediscovering the things that maybe we could go back and look at a little deeper.
Exactly. Totally. Okay. Yeah. And one, our other hashtag, Made in PGH, is it's used by everybody, which is a pro and a con. It's really nice because we get tagged in so many Made in PGH things, but then they like might not necessarily be from us.
Sure.
So we also have Rediscover PGH, which is a lot of fun. And it's like the new brands. It's people that might have 300 followers that reach out to us, and they're like, hey, like, give us a shout out. And we're like, oh my God, I'd love to. Like, can't wait. Like, for example, I'm working with this girl, Spiked Sprinkles, and she makes alcoholic sprinkles that you can add to your cupcakes. And it's super cute. So delicious.
Well, why are we not having her on the podcast?
I don't know. You should probably call her. I'll connect you guys.
Please.
She's a gem.
Yeah. Or we could bring her here on our next trip.
I made cupcakes and I got cupcakes and I put her sprinkles on top, and they were like,
what a great idea.
Right, I know.
And those are the little things about Pittsburghers that you know, you might be talking about an entire cupcake conglomerate.
Right.
But you don't get down to the people who do the sprinkles that make
exactly.
it.
Exactly. 100%.
Welcome to Pittsburgh, right?
Right.
Our
right.
town is so creative.
So creative,
it's so much fun. And, like, I think from the inside looking out, it's so exciting to see just every single aspect of all these creative and exciting people doing cool things. Yeah. I have so much fun with it.
So I think it's cool that you're your age and you find Pittsburgh exciting.
Oh my God, I love Pittsburgh.
Right? So how many people that were your age years ago would just go, I can't wait to get the heck out of here?
But you know, they always come back.
Yeah.
Is what it seems like to me. I don't know. My parents moved and came back. Like, all my family moved and came back. I went to college and came back. I think it's just so special. And if you aren't paying attention, it's easy to miss, I guess.
Yeah, no,
but
it's
to
true.
Me, I like, anytime I leave, I'm like, Pittsburgh, I'm from Pittsburgh. Like, whoa. It's aggressive.
It is a rah-rah. No, yeah. It's easy to do, for sure.
I feel like I have to wear Pittsburgh logos everywhere so people know, like, for
right.
sure.
But we have so much to boast of, and I think
right.
that's the importance, is that we point out, you know, we were this, but now we're this.
Totally.
You know,
yeah.
and the evolution
we're
has
a different town than what people think we are.
No question. Something unique to Made in PGH that we love, you know, is that, and, you know, we have to say Breyer has sort of helped us as well, because we've kind of meshed brands, and you've certainly, you know, turned people onto the podcast. But we have to point out that journalistically, you're doing a couple things right. We're learning, right, that people don't want long reads.
Yeah.
So you're doing a lot of five best, six best.
Totally.
Are you noticing that that's getting more attention?
For sure. I think listicles are always super accessible. It's just kind of a quick way to be like, oh, here you go. And it's nice for, the people in the list as well, because like you and I have helped each other. It's,
sure.
I'll tag Liberty Pole in a listicle, and then they'll share. And it's like an easy way to grow your brand and get more eyes, because everyone's kind of, rather than one long-winded article about one thing.
Right.
So
no, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And seriously, if you've not checked it out yet, Made in PGH is just such good quick reads. And you're right. It is hitting a younger demographic. I'm not the demographic, but I'm enjoying the reads because it's It's rediscovering.
Right.
And it's seeing things in a different light.
Yeah. We actually just grew our contributor list. We doubled it. It was something I really pushed for in the new year. We lost a couple contributors because they moved or whatever. They've grown out. And so I wanted to just amp it up, add some more diversity. And I'm really excited about some of the people that we've brought on. And I think that we're going to have some really cool content
coming.
Could
it be the person behind the camera?
Maybe. Our friend Colin.
He's aight. Yeah,
he's not bad. He's one of my favorites personally. But, yeah, I think just keep an eye out. We have some really cool campaigns that we're working on.
Yeah, that's
nice.
Awesome.
For nice. Sure. Briar, so we're here at this Liberty Pole. What did you drink today? What did they make for you?
I'm five.
Those listening to the podcast, you have like a very tall glass.
I got a root beer float.
Oh,
because I guess I'm a five-year-old. But it has alcohol in it because I'm actually 30. So I'm really excited about it.
His whole friend group turned 30 this year.
So. Yeah, my birthday's in like a week. Yeah. So, oh boy. Okay.
Well, it's actually a bourbon, what I had on, you know, so 14 years from now, you can just drink the straight sister, but.
That's the goal.
And it became my $32 a day habit, if you ask my husband.
It's so like good. I can't even tell. I'm like, this is great.
You don't even realize. Yeah. Right. You put those sprinkles on top.
Dude, I know. I should call Leah right now.
But real quick, we can't let you go or even continue until we talk about, you know, she has a little macaroon thing. Are you still doing your macaroon?
Yes, there will be a Valentine's Day box, I think. It's
your side hustle, right?
Yeah, one of them. I am a hustler in general. I have like four, but I got laid off from the city paper. I was kind of just twiddling my thumbs going crazy. And so I was like, you know what? What the heck? I'm going to start selling macarons. And my best friend, Missy, and I do it together.
Wait, correct me. Macarons. And macarons. We learned that
we
because
learn that.
Of Zachary's mission. Mm-hmm. Patricia said, it is not a macaroon. It's a macaron.
It's like a very common misconception. Yeah. Well, if I ever had an actual macaron business, I think I would call it Ron's.
Yeah,
like, that
something.
Would be the name. Yeah. Just to like,
but Pittsburghers
really
are like, they're macaroons.
Well, because in Pittsburgh, macaroons, you could pick up at North Versailles versus Versailles.
Right. Yeah. And it's, well, it's like, macaroons are these like coconut.
Yes.
Plops,
yeah.
Yes. And they're pretty like low effort, three ingredient, and macarons are like take all day.
Yes.
And so it's like just not the same thing.
Yeah,
so.
Not at all. So you are still kind of.
Occasionally. So if you follow me on Instagram, that's usually where I launch them, I guess. And then I do like an order for a week, and then my friend and I spend 2 days just like cranking these bad boys out, and then you can either pick them up in Southside or pay for delivery, and that's kind of just my little side hustle.
I mean, I don't have a side hustle, but it wouldn't be macarons, that's for sure.
It's
for God's
like,
sake.
Funny, I feel
it
like
it just seems like so complicated. Side hustle should be easy.
Tom, what would
it
you
is
have,
not
what
easy.
My side, I don't know.
It was a mistake. I should have just done like chocolate chip cookies, but here we are.
Because now here you are perfecting these amazing.
I think my side hustle is going to be hanging out with Chris, the bartender here.
Yeah.
Liberty Pole is what's going to happen.
It's, I feel like Instagram chefs are kind of a thing right
now.
Yeah. It's Colin and I this morning had crunch wraps from this guy, Wake Up PGH. We picked him up at his apartment
this
morning.
Yeah,
and then there's this girl, Brothmonger, who makes like the best soup. And it's just this whole little.
And Eddie's Pizza. Eddie's,
I don't even know what that is.
Eddie's, I think it's Eddie's Pizza 412. The guy makes all these Detroit style pizzas in his home.
Yeah, right.
And
it's
he puts them
like
on, and I eat my, I want to eat my phone.
Totally, yeah. That's with this weird, with the Brothmonger girl, I like would like lick the bowl. It's like you have to like set an alarm to get it because it sells out in 3 seconds.
Awkward conversations with Briar and John.
Right.
I don't know. It's all about food, you know.
Briar, listen, we always appreciate having you.
Thank you.
Seriously, if you want to come on, we say this to only the most elite. If you want to come on quarterly just to talk about what Maiden PGH is doing, we would love to have you.
Absolutely.
Because, seriously, I love seeing the quick stories, and they're not just quick in the sense that they're super interesting, but positioned in a way that you get a quick read and you kind of know what's going on.
That's just digital media these days. You kind of have to adapt or it's going to.
Or sorry.
Right. See ya.
No.
But it also seems, just a quick question, it also seems like Instagrammers are saying Instagram loves long copy within Instagram, which seems to go against everything we're hearing.
I think that's the way that the algorithm of Instagram works, because that means someone's looking at your page for longer because they're reading it. So like the time is ticking. And so then Instagram's like, oh, this is interesting versus.
So float it up there.
Yeah.
All right.
Float that
float that the Instagram gods, you know, you have to
right.
like,
but I don't bow know. Bow down to them all, right?
Yeah. Right. All right.
Briar, where does everybody follow you before we ask you the coveted question?
So Made in PGH is my work brand, and then you can follow me at Briar LB, which is BRYERLB. And that's it. That's me.
And definitely follow because you will absolutely.
Briar, how did Colin do driving in the snow today?
Great.
Is he a good snow driver?
On the way, I was like, I might die. And then Colin took the wheel and it was far better.
Interesting. She's like, Colin take the wheel.
Oh, and you cut that guy off.
That's funny. All right. Our question of the day.
Historically, Washington, PA is known for the Whiskey Rebellion. What person from history are you most like or who do you most relate?
I've heard this question twice now, and I went on Google, and I still don't know. I don't know. Kermit the Frog was my first answer.
Briar, did you Google who am I most like?
No, I Googled like hustlers in history because I have a hustle attitude, and like Oprah came up, and then which like she's cool,
but she's here.
I love Oprah. I don't know.
Rachel's about to take you to task on this, so we're gonna end this podcast.
Janis Joplin's cool.
Look at Colin's face.
Janis
Joplin's
a good one.
Please don't make her sweat.
She counts either, so
I don't know. She's dead though.
Colin's like, please, I have to take her home.
Betsy Ross.
There you go. There you go.
I love it. Well, Briar, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. And again, thanks to Eris and for coming on. Ding, 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 ding. And thanks to Karen and Mr. Locke for coming on the podcast. And a big thanks to our bartender today, Chris.
He just does the greatest.
Yeah, he has done the best. And thanks to the
Jim and Kevin for hosting us. Don't you love this place? You have to come try it out.
Yeah.
It's like Cheers. You walk in, but they don't say Norm.
It's right. It's Maiden Avenue, Liberty Pole in the downtown Washington area.
And thanks again to Fusion Entertainment, who from here on out are going to be sponsoring all of our music guests. Check them out at fusionentertainment.com.
Thanks to Rorick Honda, of course, for being our sponsor.
While used cars are always an option to buy, a slew of 2021 models are in demand since price production changed the car options for many 2020 vehicles.
Whether an oldie but goodie or a new must-have high-tech vehicle, visit Rorick.com for all of your vehicle needs.
Something out of a movie, oh, so it seems. None of you used to talk about pop from overseas, seven Brahma stars, no stories to tell. Well, after all, you don't recall what you know too well. Throw it up, feel like, oh, yeah, so I'm told. But Tunisia's hot and a camel spit a long, long way from home. Boy, I'd imagine all the things he went through. Couldn't comprehend, I'd just pretend and try. Put myself in his shoes, yeah. Outside of town, they run a crane for L&M, 10 stories off the ground. See that heights could never scale such a mountain of a man. He used to come down for lunch, cause no one's tough enough to bring it up to him. to remember that sweet, soft-spoken man. Used to carry me out to mom at the end of her shift, yeah. 3 a.m., 88 years. He lived 10 blocks